Nickname guy.
Nope.
Not in years. And I say that a lot. Because I can. Mary P., it's been wonderful to be a part of that process with you, my friend. It has been wonderful. Yeah, 91. Since 91. Yeah, it's all right. We do recover. Here's a story. I was sleeping, because I do that sometimes. A week and a half ago, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I wake up, the phone rings. I answer. I work nights, so it's okay that I sleep that late, okay? Yeah, those of us that work nights understand. So I wake up, and I answer the phone, and it's a member of the committee, and they said, "Hey, Guy, what are you doing the weekend of?" And I said, "I don't know." And he says, "Can you do this?" And I said, "Of course I can, without any reservation. Because when I'm asked to show up, I show up." We do recover. How many of you own a dictionary? I was told when I showed up in recovery to get a dictionary. And then he said, "Read it." And that was my sponsor. Because he was a wonderful human being. I'll tell you a little bit about that story a little later. So he made me get the dictionary, made me open it up, and he made me look up all the words that I thought I knew. And I thought I had an understanding of the English language. I graduated high school, barely. I graduated with two majors, math and industrial arts. Don't ask me to balance your checkbook. I do not do construction work today, because I can't. So the first word in chapter 8, we do recover, we, it's us. Do, it's an action word. It means you got to do stuff. It's action and recover. And I had to look up recover too. Return to a disease-free state. To be symptom-free is recovery. Symptoms of what? Symptoms of the disease of chemical dependency, of addiction. That's what it talks about in the basic text. So I actually got stuff out and started reading the stuff. And I was just amazed of how much I didn't know. And I still rely on my dictionary a lot. Surrender, you know? Because I was raised by a man, my father. I love him. He passed away a year and a half ago. I love him. He served in Korea. He was a drill sergeant after he got out of Korea. He was caught behind enemy lines and survived, and had the hand grenade mark in his back from where it blew up next to him. We pulled shrapnel out of him as a child because it would work its way up to the surface, and we'd actually get tweezers and pull shards of metal out of him. Yeah. Wow. Ooh. And he instilled in us, it's because he did not surrender. Had he surrendered, he would have been dead. They would have killed him. He kept fighting. So that's the attitude that I had all through my life. You don't ever quit, man. And until the last breath, you keep fighting. And I have found in this process that is so not true. Because I tried that. I tried that. I didn't make it to jail yet. I made it to an institution once. And I tried the death thing a number of times and was successful one time. From an overdose, I died on the operating table. from another disease. And this disease combined. And when it talks about recovery, I have to incorporate all of that in my recovery today. It's if you have not read We Do Recover, man, Mary said, read it, because it just encompasses the entire program of Narcotics Anonymous. It talks about, in the very, very, very italicized words, is that what it is? It says, although politics makes strange bedfellows, and I was like, politics. Let's take politics, for instance. We are not political. Because politics often have special interests. That's why Narcotics Anonymous does not have special interests. Special interests is about, I do a favor for you, you need to do a favor back for me. And that's, we wash each other's back, right? Not in Narcotics Anonymous. It doesn't work that way. I help you, you help me, yes. But it's not about an expectation. Because I helped you do this, you got to help me do that. It's not how it works. It hasn't worked that way for me in my program. It's about pass it on. You do for me, and now I do for somebody else. Came up with a movie about that that was just like a wild, wonderful movie. But man, that's what we do all the time. We do it all the time. I have been helped that way by my predecessors. They have raised me. They raised me well, whether I learned the lesson or not, any given day. When Mary was talking about, Mary, I'm going to steal some of your stuff because it's great stuff. And I'm not original. It's all in here. Mary was talking about kissing the boy. And I, one of the things I wrote in here, Mary, listen, compulsion. Once having started the process with one kiss, one fix, one pill, or one drink, we cannot stop through our own power of will. Because that stuff's just as much drug as anything else, boys. Feel good. And I love to feel good. Although what I have learned to do is not kiss you on a first date. I actually learned how to date in recovery, folks. What a wonderful thing. Still learning. But it's a process, and we just have fun. Mary had talked about Alcoholics Anonymous, and in We Do Recover, it talks about Alcoholics Anonymous in here in a pretty good detail. And it talks about, in another piece, we owe a debt of gratitude. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be here with what we got today. It says so. It says so in our basic text. And it goes, there's a whole bunch of stuff in here, and it talks about attitude. Attitude is huge. Because I can have the desire, but not without the attitude that goes along with that desire. Man, I'm tore up. We are no longer too compelled to act against our true nature and do things that we really don't want to do. When I showed up here, I didn't really want to do this. I didn't want to. I didn't want to go get clean. That's recovery hitting the floor. And now we're going to start running. It's for those people that they can't see what happened. This is guys' recovery process. Okay, triangle of self-obsession. I picked this up on May 28th, and I wrote on the back of it, save my ass. Feel it, share it, grow up or die. These are the things that I was going through on May 28th. May 14th, self-acceptance, and I wrote on it, it applies, because I was having a problem with accepting me for who I am. Also on May 28th, this was 06, I picked up Living the Program again. Again, I have several of them. This is how the program has worked for me. This is how I have recovered. And in the recovery process, because I will not ever be recovered, because this disease is ongoing. Talks about it in this chapter too. Talks about the symptoms of the disease of addiction. What are your symptoms? I know what mine are. That's what makes it my disease. I don't know what yours are. But February 20th and February 21st of 05, I was having an issue with living the program again, so I got it out. And it is filled out. Okay? Because I just don't have these things just lying around, you know. I fill them out, and I can go back and just remember exactly what was going on that day and what was happening in my life, knowing how I was. What did they say this disease was? It's a feelings disease. I think I read that somewheres. So I know exactly how I was feeling and why I was feeling the way I was feeling. Most of it was not accurate because it was my own perception, and my perception is a little messed up because of what I did. One of the nicest and simplest parts in We Do Recover is this next sentence. All we have to do is follow direction. Yeah. Damn, I don't like to follow. I don't like to be told what to do. I don't. I'm 43 years old. I'm told what to do a lot. I don't like it from my boss. I don't like it from everybody else that's got some authority type stuff in my life. I don't like it. I don't want to have to put my seatbelt on when I get in the car and drive. I don't want to put the helmet on when I ride my motorcycle. I don't want to stop at that red light. I want to get to where I want to go. If I follow directions, I actually get to make it to where I'm supposed to go. That's just one of those neat things about this stuff. We get great relief through the 12 steps, living the 12 steps. And I was, and I'm still taught on a daily basis how to apply that stuff to my life. Powerlessness, first step, surrender. You know, I had this misconception of what surrender was from my father in that military mentality. Not that he was wrong. He wasn't. He just didn't understand how I was going to apply what he was teaching to addiction. I did. So I said, I can't give up. I can't quit. I can't give in to that stuff. You know, you don't understand. And I'm talking to myself. So I continued doing what I was doing until it killed me. And then I didn't get clean. It took a little while after that. I died November 1990, 3 days before Thanksgiving on the operating table. I didn't get clean until March. Because, you know, I had it when I went home. I had it when I went home. It was there waiting for me. Because I lied to everybody, including myself. You know, you didn't understand the poor thing that I was. You know, when I showed up in Narcotics Anonymous, I weighed 100 and, I don't know, not a lot. 102 pounds, Mary? Mary says it was 102 pounds. I do weigh more than that today, all right? I'm 155, give or take. I wore a back brace. I used a walker to get around because I could not manage under my own power. I have this other illness. I've had 3 back surgeries. I have no reflexes in my left foot. They're diminished in both knees. So, and your point is what? I found recovery from that by applying the principles of Narcotics Anonymous. Because once I got shown this process of Narcotics Anonymous in March of 1991, I applied that stuff. I applied surrender. All right, this is what I got, and this is what I need to do about it. And they said, surrender to win. Okay. So my sponsor's saying, get the basic text, read it, I'll start going over the steps with you. My physical therapist says, you just can't do those exercises when you show up here. You have to do that when you're home, too. What am I paying you for? It's an utility that I had. Make me better. Fix me. Because that's what I wanted. I just wanted to be better. It takes work, and it took work. So I did. I worked in physical therapy. I did those things that I was supposed to do. And instead of taking the elevator, use the steps. I know, what a concept. So I did. When I went to meetings, instead of taking the elevator to this one place that we were having meetings, I would take the steps and actually walk up the steps, building the muscles, doing the things I'm supposed to do. And so then I ended up graduating to a cane. And I used the cane, and then I had to throw the cane away. And now I don't have to use any of that stuff. I don't used to have to use those crutches to assist me. Look up the word crutch. Just go look it up. I'm not going to tell you what it says. You do that. And all through this process, we realize that the old feelings and fears are symptoms of our disease. And man, we talk about, you know, if I have those old feelings come up because of stuff that's going on in my life, then guess what? I am not symptom free from this disease. So I will never be ever be recovered. So I will have this disease. It says so. So it's an ongoing process. Another place in here says recovery is an uphill journey. Guess what I was told by my first sponsor? You get to decide how big of an incline it is, brother. You can either be going up the hill like this, or you can do some work with help and lay that down a little bit and make it, it's still an incline, but, you know, it's doable. It's doable. So I highlighted through my basic text. Now, I generally don't do that. And the only reason that I did that was for this specific purpose, because I believe that every single word in this basic text is just as important as the one before it and the one after it. Because if it ain't working, it ain't in here. That's what I have found out through living this program of Narcotics Anonymous. No addict who has completely surrendered to this program has ever failed to find recovery. That was pretty deep when I was first being told this stuff. So you mean to tell me that I will not fail? Now, I'm used to failure. You know, I'm used to setting myself up to fail. Okay? I mean, in high school, I had the possibility of a good career in baseball. I smoked that up. You know, I had baseball scouts looking at me when I was a freshman in high school. You know, I smoked it up. So I set myself up. And I've done that throughout my life. Period. Even in recovery, folks, I'm not perfect. I even do that stuff in recovery. I don't do it as much. It's not as painful today, but I still do it. Excuse me. I don't have all the answers nor the solutions, and it tells me that right here. We don't have them all. And one of the it was a slap in the face when my sponsor pointed out in the basic text that it said our best ideas are what got us here. I using the chemicals that I was using, you know, somebody said, I did. And it was like, yeah, that was my idea then, wasn't it? You know, nobody held me down. I volunteered. know? I got sponsored into addiction. Because I was watching and seeing, and then I volunteered myself. So they sponsored me into it. So you know what? I got sponsored into recovery too. Somebody else kicked me here, and then some other people picked the ball up and carried it with me. You know, I've had three sponsors in this process. One relapsed. Nothing he told me was wrong. Nothing he told me was wrong. When I called him up, he had that pearl that I was looking for. You know, that helped me get through what it was. When I showed up, and there's a couple people here, when I showed up, I was mean, rotten, and miserable. And I would call my sponsor up, mean, rotten, and miserable, complaining about whatever it was that wasn't happening in my life, and I was just, and he says to me, "Guy, do you ever have a good day?" "Yeah." "The next time you have one, call me." Why would I want to do that? I found out why. It seemed I was having more better days than bad days. So I had to call him frequently. And I was like, "Oh, you bastard." It's like, "Yeah, all right, now I know what you're doing." I fixed him. I only called him once a week. Yeah, I know. You may bite my nose off to spite my face. Because I'm not hurting anybody but me in this process of doing what I think I should be doing. He didn't tell me I had to call him every day. He just said, "You know what? You ought to call me." Okay. Now, I guess the next part was, how often should I call you? I don't know. What do you think? I don't do that with my sponsees today. I don't say, "You got to call me every day. You got to call me once a week. You got to." No. But what they have come to is regular contact. And it goes both ways today. I have that with my sponsor today. My sponsor lives in Texas. I'm in New York. I call him 3-4 times a week on average. If he doesn't hear from me after a few days, he thinks I'm dead. So he calls and says just that. Hello. I don't do that to people in my life today, but what goes around comes around. It's what I was taught. It's what I was taught. So it also talks about in here, the lost dreams awaken and new possibilities arise. And Mary was talking about that, you know, new possibilities arise. I didn't even know I had these dreams that I got going on today. Okay? But I had them apparently somewheres, and I've awakened them, and my life is absolutely, it's a wild life today. You know? I have a career that I enjoy. The only time I really don't enjoy it is when things aren't going my way. I mean, it's real. I challenged my boss the other day at work. And one of my coworkers said, "What are you doing? You don't do this. It's the boss." I don't care who the boss is. I don't care who you are. I mean, I care about you, but look, if I don't think it's right, I don't have a problem with coming to you and saying, "Hey, look." And I've learned how to do that in Narcotics Anonymous appropriately. See, because before I used to come with a baseball bat in the middle of the night and do damage to your car because you pulled in front of me. Now I come to you straight up and say, "Look, you know what? I don't think this is, I don't like that. And I don't know that I'm able to do that." And I explain the reason why. And they're like, "Okay, what's what?" And she was able to change her mind a little bit. And she also asked me to be a part of the solution, not part of the problem. And I'm like, "Oh, you mean you want this?" And I handed her the paperwork that she was looking for, because I want to be a part of the solution today. I hate to be part of the problem. I know it doesn't feel good. I still can be. When we take the actions indicated in these steps, the results are a change in our personality. And that was one of the things that I was just talking about. My personality has changed a lot. I used to be a joker to make you laugh so I could laugh so I didn't have to feel the way I was feeling, so I could change that. Today, I laugh and tell jokes and because I like that stuff today. It's not about hiding who Guy is. Yeah, I don't have to hide behind that stuff anymore today. I love smiles. You know, they're great. They're warm. And when you walk into a room and you know people and they turn and they look at you, even you can just see the smile in their eyes. Even then, you know, they might be doing some other things, but you know they'll look at you and you just see the smile in their eyes. And that's why I know I belong in Narcotics Anonymous. We get that. When we don't see people for a while and they come back for whatever reason they were doing, doesn't matter whether they used and came back or whatever. It's just, you are my people. I am yours, you are mine. That's the way this thing works. You know? When we're willing to follow this course of action and take advantage of the help available to us, a whole new life is possible. In this, we do recover. You know, one of the other things that I had found out about in here is that attitude change. Because it also talks about later, we have less fear and we can use these tools more fully and to our greater advantage. And I'm looking at that and I said, oh, wow. We're talking about manipulation. See, we say manipulation like it's a bad word. It's not. It's the attitude behind it. So I can manipulate this program with a positive attitude, use the tools that are given to me, y'all, 12 steps, 12 traditions, 12 concepts of service, to help myself in my recovery process. You know? And then we can pay it forward. I remember showing up here not having a dime in my pocket. I ate because people fed me. The hospitality room, you do what you do, absolutely, because we do what we do. So do it. Today, secure in the love of the fellowship, we can finally look another human being in the eye and be grateful for who we are. Because it's a we process. You know? There's only one place in the basic text that talks about I, and that's in the fifth chapter. And then it says, begin your own program by taking the first step. We. But it talks about me. It talks about, this is what I am. Here's me. So here's me. You know, I'm not perfect, nor will I ever be. I have done one thing perfect since I showed up in Narcotics Anonymous March 12th in 1991. I haven't used yet. I know I have one in me. I know I have a relapse. I haven't relapsed yet. Oh, that was one of the other things that I was told, too. They said, Guy, in order for you to relapse, you have to be in recovery first. I said, ooh, okay. And he says, yeah, well, you ain't there yet. I'm talking about my sponsor. And he says, no, you're just clean, that's all. Not that's all. It's the most important thing because you can't go anywhere without that. He says, but you know what? You remember when you say we are? Go one better. You remember when you act like other members. So, thanks for letting me share. Thank you.